Springfield's News Talk, FM 104.1 KSGF, and a good Monday morning, everyone. A chance of scattered showers, thunderstorms this afternoon. A full look at the KTTS First Alert forecast coming up here in just a couple of moments. One of the things I do want to talk about this hour is this push to allow for the early voting and, you know, all this. And there is, oftentimes we see it here locally, some Republicans who support it. I'm talking about elected officials. But I want to juxtapose that to a Real Clear Politics piece by Mark Hemingway. 28 million mail-in ballots went missing in the last four elections. 28 million mail-in ballots missing. No idea where they went. First, Don Luzader with the latest news update.
That's a lot of ballots.
Yeah, it is. And to have no idea.
Yeah. Could they have affected an outcome of an election?
Or of any election? I mean, 28 million?
You certainly would think
yeah. that it could. Oh, boy.
Wow. Some businesses near St. Louis are reopening already with some safety measures in place after local officials lifted restrictions meant to slow the spread of the coronavirus. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that Franklin County has relaxed rules in their order, allowing golf courses, movie theaters, concert halls, gyms, fitness studios, tanning salons, bowling alleys, and skating rinks to reopen Saturday as long as they adhere to social distancing guidelines. Of course, Missouri is still under a stay-at-home order that runs through this Sunday, with the state scheduled to reopen, at least in part, on Monday, a week from today. Missouri has also increased its COVID-19 testing capacity to 50,000 tests a week. The Missouri State Public Health Laboratory and other labs are prepared for the new increase in capacity. New rapid testing by Abbott is allowing for test results in less than 13 minutes. Those specific tests have also been deployed throughout Missouri. And in Wright County, Health Department says all nine patients diagnosed with the coronavirus have recovered. Health Department confirming that update in a Facebook post. It's believed to be the first county in the Ozarks to be able to say that all of its cases have recovered, at least one with that many cases. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Cloudy, scattered showers, thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 68. Cloudy with a 30% chance of showers tonight, low of 57. Showers, thunderstorms likely by late afternoon tomorrow with a high of 75, and Wednesday sunny, 66. 56, partly cloudy here at the KSGF studios. Politico has gotten pretty relentlessly mocked because of, it's not even a puff piece about Governor Whitmer. And Whitmer is seen as the strongest vice presidential candidate, potential candidate for Joe Biden to have on her ticket. And they think it could help deliver that state, which they desperately need, they being the Democrats, and so they're all in for. Well, she's had a rough few weeks because she has had some of the most authoritarian shutdowns in her state. And we're not talking about like we've seen in Springfield and Greene County where they just sort of arbitrarily pick this business and that business and ticket you if you're doing whatever they don't want you to do. But going so far as to forbidding people from visiting families, you know, she's into separating families is cool again now that Democrats are doing it. And not allowing people to go if they have a vacation home or they own two different properties, travel from one to the other. Wouldn't even allow people to buy seeds so that they could, you know, grow their own food. And she has suffered a tremendous backlash. There have also been a couple of scandals. Well, I don't want to, public relation snafus, we'll call them. One in which she falsely claimed that the Trump administration was withholding supplies to her state, and she would have to walk that back because it turned out her state kind of didn't submit the paperwork for it, so it was their fault. And now there is the mini scandal of a no-bid contract that was given to a Democrat organization that collects information on voters. And that has been pulled back. So it's been a bad few weeks for her. Politico comes in to save the day, though, and write a piece about how incredibly brilliant and wonderful she is. One of the quotes from the piece was, moreover, just about everybody likes her, Politico wrote. This was in the piece, Politico's assertion that everyone loves her. Oh, no, forget everything you see. Politico wrote, she is genuine, secure, quick to give a hug or share a dirty joke. She's a mom, a sports nut, a lawyer, a politician with a perfect record of winning races and a long history of flustering opponents. Now, this was published in the midst of protest outside her home. This was written about, she's just so successful and no, I mean, everyone loves her. You can't find anyone who disagrees with her. The state legislature went into session in order to strip away powers from the governorship because of the authoritarian stances that she has taken in the last several weeks dealing with coronavirus. So you have a governor who has had to pull back a no-bid contract to a political ally, who had to walk back the false claim that the president was withholding supplies and coronavirus funds from the people of her state. She has protesters outside her mansion, and the state legislature stripped away duties that were given to the governor because of her abuse of them. And Politico is publishing a piece about everyone loves Whitmer. She's just so wonderful. I mean, we couldn't find anyone. Never before have we seen what we are going to see in this election cycle. And it is 100% full-blown activism in the media. It is truly propaganda. House Speaker Elijah Haar backs a plan to make elections safer amid pandemic. Oh, I love these headlines. This is about early voting. And anyone who wants to, of course, allow people to vote early without any reason whatsoever, they're just making us safer, see? That's why it's good. You don't even need to read the article. And don't question it. Any implications or repercussions, it's for your own good. By the way, have you noticed that all of the focus by the state on social distancing has put a bit of a damper on the talk of that special tube train that some want so badly, where people would be crammed into these cars in a tube to go lickety-split from St. Louis to Kansas? You haven't heard much on that in the last couple of months, have we? I like this on the Queen City Motors talk and text line, 447-KSGF. Talking about the Whitmer piece in Politico, where they just can't hardly find anyone that doesn't like her. She's the greatest thing ever. If she's quick to share a hug and a dirty joke, she will be perfect fit for a creepy Joe Biden. That is true. Maybe a little bit of competition. I wonder if she likes to smell hair. I wonder if Joe will be, maybe that's why Joe is so adamant about having a female running mate. So he'll always have hair to smell. He won't ever have to worry about being without hair to smell. It'll always be there. And if anything, the treatment of his former staffer, Tara Reid, who has accused him of sexual assault, is sending the message that, listen, if you're going to be the vice president of Joe Biden and you're a woman, you're going to have to take a certain level of sexual assault. Just keep your mouth shut. That's just the way it is. I mean, you're just going to have to deal with that. We are back to the good old days of the Democrat Party, where a woman's job is to, you know, help politicians. Well, like Clinton. What was it he said? He had to blow off a little steam, or it was how he dealt with his anxiety through his sexual assaults and sexual advances. And so, it's good to see a little nostalgia there for the Democrats and with good old Joe. So what if he tried to rape someone? It's good old Joe. You just take one for the team, because he's going to support some women's issues. So that's just what you're supposed to do. The News Leader has a piece about House Speaker Elijah Haar and his desire to allow people to vote, well, pretty much for any reason at all, early. Instead, we have absentee voting in Missouri, and this means if you know you're not going to be able to vote on Election Day for a number of different reasons, then you can go vote early. I did this, one of our great escapes. We were going to be out of the country. I think it was a great escape, and so went down, took my, you know, went through the proper procedure, and did an absentee vote. County officials who have pitched a plan to keep voters safe. Oh, see, so this is how you know it's good. To keep voters safe amid the coronavirus outbreak appeared to pick up a key ally this week in a call with the Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce. Amazingly, they weren't talking about raising taxes. House Speaker Elijah Haar, Republican Springfield, said he agreed with their idea of letting voters cite the pandemic as a reason to vote absentee. Well, and since we'll never officially end people dying, then ultimately this means people can just vote as early as they went. You know, they don't have to have any reason at all. This is a way to sneak in early voting. Haar said, I think everybody can say yes if you're in a state of emergency, especially during a pandemic that manifests itself and spread from person to person. We do not want you coming to the polls. This is a very appropriate excuse for absentee voting. Well, again, never in my lifetime have we been without some sort of disease that you could catch from another person that could kill you. We've never, never, never on this planet, not even just in my lifetime, there is always some sort of ailment, whether it's a virus or otherwise, that can be, you know, passed on to someone else because of close proximity, or, you know, they leave it on something by touching it, whatever it may be, and then somebody could die from it. That situation has always existed. I mean, I can tell you exactly how this is going to go. Those who want to use the early voting system as a way to steal elections are going to, I'll give the benefit of the doubt of these Republicans and say they're being tricked into it, trick them into supporting it as well, convincing them, oh, it's good for people's health. Yeah, no, just, you know, when there's a pandemic or something. Well, that'll change. That'll change to anyone who has a compromised immune system or some sort of underlying medical condition, which will include elderly people automatically. And then they'll begin adding and adding and adding and demanding, well, what about this group? What about that group? What about this group? What about that group? And eventually it'll be, eh, anyone, just vote, you know. All right, we're going to change voting. We'll no longer have Election Day. We'll have Election Month. This is the direction that they're taking it. Now, if you've listened to this show in the past, you understand why it is that they support this. And it's because it is the most effective way they're able to steal elections. And they've done it before. I cite the Democratic primary in St. Louis, in which a judge had to call for a redo because the husband of the Democrat incumbent was showing up with armfuls of ballots from individuals that were, you know, through the absentee balloting system. Stole the election. Now, and by the way, the ACLU is also pushing this. And I listen, and it talks about Greene County clerk Shane Scholler, and he has been supportive of this as well. And this is how I know that not everyone who supports it has nefarious reasons for doing so, because I've known Shane Scholler for a very, very, very long time, and he is one of the most honest human beings, not just in politics, but walk the face of the earth. So I have no idea or no doubt that he feels that this is the best thing to do. But we have to understand elections will be stolen once they implement this statewide and nationwide. because they've used these methods before, and they've used them effectively. Now, case in point, from Real Clear Politics, between 2012 and 2018, 28.3 million mail-in ballots remain unaccounted for, according to data from the Federal Election Assistance Commission. The missing ballots amount to nearly 1 in 5 of all absentee ballots and ballots mailed to voters residing in states that do elections exclusively by mail. Now, let me pause here. Every state sets up their own rules. And while some states will, you know, you're going to have left-wing organizations like the ACLU and Democrats, Eric Holder is big into this stuff, pushing for the allowance of the early voting or basically absentee for any reason that you want to. Some states will require some level of security, but ultimately the goal is to allow either mail-in to occur, which already does occur in some states, as they've noted here, or allowing, you know, third-party individuals to bring the ballots in for the person. Now, I would imagine mailing in would be a requirement. Because if the whole point of allowing for people to vote absentee is because they're afraid if they show up in person at the polls, they could get coronavirus or anything else and die because they're going to be around people. Well, that same risk exists to a degree showing up in person to vote absentee. May not be around as many people, but I know when I went to do it, there were a number of people that were there, not necessarily voting, but working. And so even if there are some safeguards that are put in place, they will eventually be removed. And so here you've got this, you know, state and local authorities, according to the piece in Real Clear Politics, have absolutely no idea what have happened to the over 28 million mail-in ballots that have disappeared. They say that the figure of 28 million missing ballots is likely even higher because some areas in the country, notably Chicago, refused to respond to the federal agency survey question. Well, I wonder why that is. The figure also does not include ballots that were spoiled, undeliverable, or came back for any reason. Although there is no evidence that the millions of missing ballots were used fraudulently, the Public Interest Legal Foundation, which compiled the public data provided from the Election Assistance Commission, says that the sheer volume of them raises serious doubts about election security. Now, how often do we hear from Democrats about the importance of people's votes being counted, right? I mean, any time that there is any discussion about trying to make a person's vote more secure, they scream from a high heaven about the one person, one vote, and just so important to make sure every vote is counted. How often have we heard that? Every vote must count. Now, does it not strike you as odd that between 2012 and 2018, 28 million mail-in ballots totally disappeared, went missing, and the party that is so concerned about every person's vote counting hasn't said a peep about it? Why do you think that is? I mean, it is so clear, and it is so obvious. The only thing that is confusing about all this is how on earth ultimately Republicans can be convinced to support this. Because it is just another death nail into a one party, you know, or having a two party or multi party system. It is another move that is helping solidify a future of only one party controlling this country. And it isn't the Republican Party. Not by a long shot. There have been a number of pieces regarding real estate and buying and selling homes in this particular market and what to do, how you do things differently. And frankly, I haven't even bothered reading those articles because I'm a believer in the fact that you don't need to be an expert in something if you have a friend who is. And you do have a friend in Emily Johnson. Now, you may not know her yet, but you have access to her because she's a partner with us. It's a great thing. She's incredible at what she does. She loves what she does, and she has managed to navigate through all of this upheaval, helping people still in the midst of it all find that home, helping people still in the midst of it all sell their home. So don't worry about Googling it or, well, is this the right time or is it a good time or how do I go about this? Just contact Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. It's that easy. 890-1455 is her number. And if you forget that, just find her on Facebook. It's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. You can like it. And then her contact info's there. So when the time comes, just give her a call. It's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. And Don Luzader is here with news.
And good morning. We have increasing chances of strong to severe thunderstorms in the Ozarks tomorrow. The National Weather Service says large hail and damaging winds will be possible late Tuesday afternoon, right on through the evening. Looks like the highest risk will be over extreme southwest Missouri, where there is an enhanced risk for severe weather. Missouri has increased its COVID-19 testing capacity to 50,000 tests a week. The Missouri State Public Health Lab and at least 15 other private, national, and in-state laboratories and participating health institutions are equipped as the testing capacity increases. The testing criteria have also been expanded. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast, cloudy today, scattered showers, thunderstorms this afternoon, a high of 68 with a 30% chance of showers overnight down to 57. Showers, thunderstorms likely late afternoon tomorrow, 75, and then Wednesday, sunny, 66. It's 58, mostly, it looks mostly cloudy, actually, at the KSGF studios. I want to read to you some more evidence of absentee voting, mail-in voting, early voting, as an absolute floodgate for voter fraud. And this has come up, well, this is something that the left has been pushing for some time now. There's a piece in the News Leader, House Speaker backs clerk's plan to make elections safer amid pandemic. And not safer for your vote, mind you. Not at all. But theoretically safer for your health. And there have been some who have just called on. Now, the ACLU, they're pushing this big. This is sort of stuff former Obama Attorney General Eric Holder pushes. I mentioned the ACLU. Some, they have argued that Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft should just declare, despite what the law says, that anyone can vote absentee. Now, I love these leftists who, anytime a Republican declares that they're going to just stroke of a pen, do something that they don't like, they're a dictator. They're a tyrant. But the minute they want something done, they demand that those same Republicans, if they're in a position of power, just declare it so. Ashcroft, for his part, has said multiple times that that would be illegal. Not that that has ever been a hurdle for Democrats in the past. Now, I was reading, there's a piece, Real Clear Politics, talking about this in the context of mailing in ballots, whether they be absentee or early, and the fraud that can occur. And there was data from the Federal Election Assistance Commission that said between 2012 and 2018, 28.3 million mail-in ballots were unaccounted for. Now, further down in the piece, they say the questions are particularly relevant as the COVID-19 pandemic is forcing states across the country to rapidly expand vote-by-mail operations in an election year. Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar and Ron Wyden have proposed the National Disaster and Emergency Ballot Act of 2020, a bill that would allow every eligible voter the opportunity to vote by mail regardless of state laws governing mail-in ballots. A significant increase in mail-in voting this fall could greatly incentivize ballot harvesting. Now, some of you have heard of this. Ballot harvesting is where a third party collects mail-in ballots on behalf of voters and deliver them to election officials. Another link in the chain. There's long been a consensus that such a practice incentivizes fraud, and ballot harvesting is illegal in most of the country. Public debate over the issue has intensified in recent years after a GOP operative in North Carolina was indicted for crimes against or related to ballot harvesting in 2018. By the way, it's the only way that you can legally get in trouble for trying to game the system, and that is if you're a Republican. I mean, this happens vastly across this country at the hands of Democrats, but it takes one Republican gal, and they nail her to the wall. That same election cycle, California legalized ballot harvesting, and observers say the practice played a key role in ousting several Republican congressmen in Orange County in 2018. See, this is why they do it. I don't know how much more clear I can make this. That was an area that was a long-standing GOP stronghold in a state that has become more liberal in recent decades. So in other words, absolute, without question, Republican stronghold. They kick in the ballot harvesting, and lo and behold, all of these new Democrat votes start coming in. It's just amazing the way that it works. If you notice, there's a theme here. Any alteration to the way that we vote that leads to an increase in Democrats coming to power, amazingly enough, they support it. Not just amazing. The fact that millions of unused mail-in ballots are floating around in every election cycle is not a secret type data here. It's sitting there on the internet, and you're paying for the server costs, notes Logan Churchwell, a spokesman for PILF. So what do people that really focus on the election process do about that? They go into ballot harvesting. If there's so many ballots out there in the wind unaccounted for by election officials, surely some manpower could be dedicated to go bring them in. And that's another part of the system where you have weakness and risks. To illustrate that risk, Churchwell notes that in 2016, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by garnering over 2.8 million more votes than Donald Trump. But nearly 6 million unaccounted mail-in ballots were never counted in 2016. More than twice her margin in the popular vote. The potential to affect elections by chasing down unused mail-in ballots and making sure they get counted using methods that may or may not be legal is great. So in other words, here's what they're saying. We keep hearing about how Hillary won the popular vote. And that she won by 2.8 million votes in California. There were 6 million votes that never got counted. They just disappeared. So in other words, the number, and Don Luzader asked this question earlier, I wonder if there's any way to know whether this affected the outcome of the election. Well, we know it could have, at least the popular vote. I mean, Trump won the constitutional way, the Electoral College. But you're talking about millions and millions and millions. They write, there's little doubt that as the number of mail-in ballots increases, so does fraud. In a 2012 report in the New York Times, they noted that voter fraud involving mail-in ballots is vastly more prevalent than the in-person voting fraud that has attracted far more attention, election administrators say. In Florida, absentee ballot scandals seem to arrive like clockwork around election time. According to the Wall Street Journal report on voter exploitation in Hispanic communities in Texas, mail-in ballots have spawned a mini-industry of consultants who get out the absentee vote, sometimes using questionable techniques. Poor, elderly, and minority communities are most likely to be preyed upon by the so-called ballot brokers. Now, what party do you think is responsible for that? Concerned about the fraud in mail-in ballots were serious enough that a 2008 report produced by the Caltech MIT Voting Technology Project recommended that states restrict or abolish on-demand absentee voting in favor of in-person early voting. The convenience that on-demand absentee produces has brought a significant cost to the real and perceived integrity of the voting process, the report added. On the face of it, early voting can provide nearly equal convenience with significantly greater control against fraud and coercion. Similarly, another academic study done in 2008 from Reed College flagged various concerns related to absentee voting and conceded that it is a great deal of literature on turnout, but when it comes to mail-in ballots, there is a dearth of research on campaign effects, election costs, ballot quality, and the risk of fraud. Despite these concerns, five states, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Utah, and Hawaii, now do all elections exclusively by mail. And the piece, we'll get it up. I mean, there's just a little bit more, but due to time, you get the point. There is a tremendous amount of fraud that comes with mail-in ballots, which is part of the early voting and absentee voting system. In many instances, and in some states, that is the sole way of doing it. And it all goes one way. And that's why there's one party in particular that votes for the expansion of it. You know, the Clean Missouri initiative that was passed here in Missouri that would, and it appears, I mean, this is law now, that the districts will be gerrymandered so Democrats have a greater chance of winning more seats. That's what we voted on and passed, that it was unfair that Democrats could only win seats in the cities, so we need to redraw the districts to make it more fair because Democrats never win in those areas. On Eric Holder's site that pushes these initiatives, Missouri is a bragging point. They list a number of other states where they are focusing on what they call fair districting. And they cite a disproportionate number of elections that are won by Republicans as the reason for needing to redistrict in a way that makes it more likely for Democrats to win. That way it's more fair. But you know what's missing? Any states that disproportionately vote for Democrats. Amazingly enough, their concern for fairness and equality of Republicans getting elected is absent. It only goes one way. Just like every single one of their efforts that they masquerade in fairness and equality. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for the fact that we're all going to die a week from today. That's the day that we are going to some degree, we don't know the details, be allowed to go into areas that magically you can no longer pass along coronavirus in. It's just bam like that. It's amazing. So we're all going to die. And I know this because people who are wanting to open up those businesses are accused of literally, I hear that a lot. These people are literally wanting to kill people. So it's going to be the carnage. And you just wait. Let me tell you what's going to happen. They are going to be scouring the landscape to try and find anyone who gets coronavirus that they can link to a place that was once closed that was reopened. As long as it's by a Republican. You know, Colorado, Georgia, the governor of Georgia keeps getting all this flack and all this coverage. Colorado's doing the same thing. But that state's run by a Democrat, so it's okay in Colorado. But that idiot hick, backwoods Republican down there in Georgia, well, he doesn't know what he's doing. So they will find any case that they can. Like, see, someone got sick. And it was because they opened things early. The Democratic Michigan State Representative Karen Whitsett, this is the gal who, she and her husband got coronavirus and it really hit her hard. And she was the recipient of hydroxychloroquine as part of her treatment. Her results were almost immediate. So within hours, she was feeling better. And as anyone who is feeling very sick and perhaps even worrying that they may die, to be provided a treatment that results in immediate improvement, you're a bit gleeful. And she has been gleeful enough to be pretty open about the fact that she feels that treatment would not have even been something she would have known about to ask about if it were not for President Donald Trump. The day that she was diagnosed was the same day that her governor, Whitmer, started threatening anyone in the medical industry that they had better not provide this as a potential treatment. And they'd better narc on each other. She was able, through begging and pleading, to get a doctor to go ahead and provide. So, and you know, she goes to the White House and she's like, listen, this is what happened. Detroit Democrats plan to censure her because she told the truth about how all this played out. This must be quite a shock to her to recognize that her own party sees her as somebody who would have been better off dying from coronavirus, because then they could have pointed the finger at the President Donald Trump and blame him for it. Instead, she did not have the good political sense to die, but instead lived. And gave credit where she felt credit was due. Politics aside, it must be a pretty devastating thing to recognize the people in the party that you have devoted much of your life to, that to them you are worth more dead than alive. And for the audacity of living and giving credit to President Donald Trump, you are going to be politically punished through a censure because of it. Quite a party they have. Incidentally, the state rep down in, was it Georgia, the African-American who endorsed Donald Trump because of the actual things that he has done for the African-American community that weren't lip service, citing prison reform and historically black college support, among other things. And he was so bullied by the Democrat Party for that. He had announced that he was going to not run for re-election. He, on, I believe it was Friday, changed course and decided he's not going to allow the bigots to break him down. And so he's staying in it. This is an example to the African-American community. What happens if you veer off course? This is a message they're trying to send to you. Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. Elite Outdoor Innovations, it's time of the year. You're out there, you're mowing. I know I am. And I'm real big into the thick, lush grass. But like a lot of people, my outside isn't necessarily the greatest oasis ever. Well, you spend money on that piece of land, right? Pretty decent amount of money. And as much time as many of us have been spending in our yards, you start to think, you know what, this wouldn't be a bad place to really fix up a little bit or a lot. I mean, if you have a centerpiece room in your home, you don't leave it totally empty, do you? No, you don't. Elite Outdoor Innovations can custom create an outdoor oasis for you. Now, I recommend you go to EliteOutdoorInnovations.com and get a visual sense of some of what I'm talking about. These aren't cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all. I mean, they will custom create something for you. Plus, if you still haven't done your required backflow testing for your irrigation system, they do full-service irrigation. Or perhaps if your system was installed with building of your home, it may not be running the most effectively as possible. That's something they can also check as well. Elite Outdoor Innovations. Find them online at EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. Here's a thought. If, as many people suggest, a business that is deemed too dangerous to be open decides to allow people in anyway. So say local government says, no, it is dangerous. It should be closed down. We're doing this in order to save lives. And if that business defies the order, and somebody comes in and they end up getting coronavirus because of that, and so that business, of course, is going to be demonized. There'll probably be fines, could be some form of punishment. If that is something we're okay with, then would it not stand to reason that if a person goes into an establishment that government has deemed safe, and the person still gets a coronavirus, should they be allowed to in turn somehow sue the government for giving them a false sense of security and deeming a place acceptable to go for your health? Because that's what the closings are based off of, right? Some are deadly dangerous, the others are A-OK. Just something to mull over. Glenn Beck is coming up next. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. I'm Nick Reed.